I have with me, Anchor. Now, we were talking to Heidi last month around a number of things, but during that conversation, she talked about foster care and the fact that there are not enough foster carers, that they need more. So we thought we'd do a bit of over the next hour, we'd talk about foster care. So first of all, I've got with me Georgia, who's a case manager at Anchor. Well, welcome, Georgia.
Thank you.
And welcome, Amanda. Now, Amanda has been a foster carer, as some of you might have heard me say when I was talking over the music, for I think about 17 years. Is that right, Amanda?
That's right, yes.
Now, let's just go back. I didn't realise, well, in fairness, I and probably a lot of the audience don't know anything about foster care because we've never been involved with it. So first of all, tell us a bit about the program and then we want to get a bit more specific because apparently you are very short of foster carers. So who's going to tell us, Georgia, you're going to give us a quick rundown on what the program is, please?
Yeah, so we provide accommodation to children who have been removed from their families and due to it, lots of different reasons and cannot stay with their birth parents or have not been able to find alternative accommodation within their family systems and then have to be diverted to the foster care program.
Georgie, are they normally diverted there by the courts or how do they go into foster care?
Yeah, so it's really dependent on the situation. Sometimes it is the courts saying that the foster care options, the kinship options aren't suitable. And then sometimes it will be child protection assessing that the kinship options aren't suitable. So it's lots of different pathways, I guess, but either the courts or child protection making that decision.
Georgia, what sort of age group is involved in, is there a minimum and a maximum?
So we have had children come in as young as newborns and then the cutoff age is 18. So child protection won't work with kids once they've reached 18 because they're legally adults. But yeah, we don't really have one set age. It's anywhere from 0 to 18.
And how long do you normally place the child with a foster carer? Do they just have one foster carer the whole time they're in care or do they get moved around a bit or what happens?
Yeah, again, it's really dependent on the situation. I've had some situations where the child will come into care from a young age and stay with the one carer until they're 18. There's some situations where they'll come in for a short term and the intention is for short term so that they can... there's time for their parents to do what they need to do so that they're ready to have the child return to them. And then there are some situations where the intention is long-term and it doesn't work out for whatever reason with the carer and they will move around to different carers. And then we also offer respite situations as well where it might just be a weekend that they're needing a foster carer for.
And, Georgia, I'm keen to talk to Amanda because she is one of the carers, but what sort of, with a carer, do they normally just take one child or do they, some of them take more or what happens?
Some take more. I've had some carers take up to 3 or 4 kids that are siblings. Some carers, such as Amanda, taking more than one child from different that aren't siblings from different sibling groups, and some will just take one. It really depends on the demand of the placement, what they need.
Look, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. I'll just organise something here, so it doesn't sound like I'm talking to myself, but I am. Look, we'll just take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
My lady, we'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not my lady, I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment, and I said, I never knew that you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain and the feel of the ocean and the taste of champagne.
G'day, this is Lindy. You're on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And welcome back to Community Connections. And I'm here with you for the next 2 hours till 2 o'clock. And the first hour we are talking to Anchor. Got to behave myself now because the CEO from Anchor, Heidi, has turned up. So we've got to behave ourselves now. But welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
No worries.
Nice to be here.
Amanda, I just want to talk to you for a couple of minutes. You've been talking, you've been a carer, I think you said, around about 17 years. Can I ask you, first of all, what made you decide to get involved as a carer?
I guess I have always had a bit of a soft spot for kids that can't help the situation they're in. And I guess part of that comes from listening to my mother's childhood stories of being in and out of orphanages and things when she was young. And just having a soft spot for kids in an awkward, difficult position that they never put themselves in.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Amanda, look, I don't want to get personal because that's not what we're really here, but do you have other children of your own?
Yes, I've got 4 biological boys.
Right. So the next question I was going to ask you, I didn't just ask that to be a snoop. Do you find that your other children, like they just all, or do you think it's a benefit that you had your own children as well, or would, does it really not matter?
I don't think it matters. I think you can have no kids, or you can have your own children. For me, I think it's been good for my own children. It's taught them to be empathetic, sharing, caring, helpful, and that life isn't always a box of chocolates, that, you know, there are difficult times.
Yep.
And as a family, we've learnt to grieve and other things together and get over it and move on. So I think, look, I think it's been a positive experience for my own kids. I've certainly... believe my kids are better children for it and better adults.
How many foster children have you got, Amanda?
I've got one in long-term care at the moment that came to me quite young.
Yep.
I had a two-year-old last night. Numbers change in my house often.
Oh, so do you take some in sort of as respite care as well? You haven't just got the one for the next...
No. I do emergency placements mostly, so sometimes you get calls at 2 in the morning that a sibling group of 2 or 3 need a place to stay. Other times it's respite, but mostly emergency placements I do.
Oh, that's terrific. All right, so the benefits to you yourself, obviously, I mean, it's not the money that you do it for, let's be honest, but...
Definitely
I mean,
not.
I mean, what benefit do you get out of it? Like, is it great to see these kids that had no chance before that you feel you're giving them a chance, or well, there's got to be something that drives you along.
Yeah, look, it's very heartwarming seeing them, you know, come so far. You know, I recently had a placement that had some disabilities, and she came not being able to do certain things, and 6 weeks later or so she left being able to do things she couldn't do when she first came. It's just wonderful seeing them grow and learn to trust and settle down and, you know, get the basic needs filled, haircuts and clean clothes and lots of things some of these kids come to you without having the opportunity to ever have before.
Do you find some of them come to you that they're sceptical and all of a sudden they're in a situation which is probably pretty horrible, but even when they come into a nice home or with somebody who's really going to care for them, that they're a bit, well, not frightened, but they hang back because they think, oh, yeah, this one's going to let me down again or whatever?
Yeah, of course, it depends on the child's journey. Obviously, the younger they come, that side's a little easier. As they get a bit older and they may have had multiple placements, it is difficult to gain trust, but it is possible. The younger they come, it's, you know, it's very different. It depends on why they're in care in the first place and what previous experiences that they've had. You've just got to learn to roll with the punches, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. Georgia, can I ask you now, how many foster carers do you have and how many foster carers do you need?
Well, I mean, if there's an endless supply, we'll take it. But I think on our books at the moment we have around, I'm not sure, is it around 40, Heidi, that we have?
Yes, active carers.
Yeah, yeah, active carers. Carers tend to go on their own journey a little bit, and if they've had a really intense placement, we'll decide that they need a break for a little while. So our numbers of active carers can jump up and down a little bit. And it also depends on what they're open to. But I don't think that there's a magic number of the perfect amount of carers that we would love to have. We need more because there's so many kids that we can't place because we don't have carers for them.
I guess I'll ask this of Heidi, but it may be you that has to answer, Georgia. How often do you get children to refer to you? Would you get a couple a day or only a couple a week, or how often will
they... It does vary, but probably on average a couple a day, I would say. Sometimes we'll have a rush where there might be 4 or 5 in a day. So it does vary.
It definitely fluctuates. I mean, this week we've had none. Yep. but we will have some days where we will have a few a day. It's so unpredictable. Can't predict it at all.
Again, I'll ask this of either of you. Do you find, like, do they come to you late in the day? Like, is it a case of, you know, the court sit during the day and all of a sudden they make a decision and at 4 o'clock they start ringing around saying, right, we've got these children need to be placed? Or do they just sort of, I don't know, how does the system work?
There's been times where I've had two or three at 4 o'clock on a Friday. That's not ideal.
Well, that'd be tough.
Sometimes if they're in court, they will try to come up with an option before they go to court so that in case they are removed, they can go straight somewhere.
Yep.
Again, it's really not predictable, I don't think. And sometimes we'll have some that will say we need a placement in 2 weeks' time, not necessarily from today. So, yeah, there's not really a pattern to it, I don't think.
No. What? So, Georgia, what actually is your role in the whole scheme of it? Like, are you the one that, does Heidi get the notice and say, we've got these children, or do you get it? And then after you've got the children and you move them wherever they've got to go, what's your role in the whole of it?
Yeah, so we have, we'll either get a phone call or an email directly to our foster care team, which consists of me and my two colleagues and team leader, and that will generally be our starting point. Then we call around our carer pool, do some placement matching, see who would be most suitable to that child's needs or where they go to school. Child Protection will generally assist with the transportation there. We will meet the child and do all the boring admin stuff that we have to do initially. And then from that point on, my role is kind of in two places, providing support to the carer, making sure that they are feeling comfortable with the placement and making sure that the child has everything they need in the placement as well. So really supporting the carer and supporting the child. My title is case manager, so making sure I'm on top of appointments and medical things and school and that kind of thing as well.
Amanda, I'm chopping around a bit, but I want to make sure everybody gets involved in this conversation rather than just talk. Amanda, what do you, like, once a child comes to you, do you have to report to back to Georgia once a week, once a month? Do you have to write reports or what's, once you've got the child and you sort of integrate them into your family, I guess it's your, I'm asking, is it your responsibility to get them involved in a school and enroll them and take them to school, or is that Georgia's job? And then what sort of is there between you and Anchor?
Okay, I guess it's a bit of a collaborative approach. Kids might come to me at 2 a.m. You don't ever know what time they're going to arrive. And then it would be my role to ensure their needs are met. I'd usually find out from the agency what school they go to, when are they currently going to go to school, back to the same school. You know, perhaps they've come out of region and they might need transporting to their school, or they may not attend school for medical reasons. I guess every scenario is different, but it's very much a collaborative approach. I'd contact Georgia and let her know what concerns I have about the child, if I've noticed any particular injuries that weren't reported to me, or if the kids told me something worrisome, then it's my duty of care to ensure that the agency are aware of anything that they need to be made aware of in relation to that. And then we just work together as a team, making sure all the child's needs are met.
I don't want to bog down on the specifics because we're here really to try and talk about foster care and, pardon me, and also to try and get some more foster carers for Anchor. But, all right, pardon me, I just swallowed a bit of air. It's worse than swallowing something else. All right, it's 2 a.m. So how do these children get found at 2 a.m? Is it the police find them? And then how do they get them or get notification to Georgia? And you say that you take them, Amanda. So just very briefly, what are the mechanics? How does it happen, Georgia?
If it's a 2 o'clock in the morning situation, that's generally police involvement.
Yep.
Whether that's removal because of family violence or there's been an incident along those lines,
yep.
That will generally be a police incident, I would assume. Heidi, do you agree with
that?
Yeah,
I think that it's most likely that it is the police at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It could be a hospital. It could be a hospital, but mostly the police, yeah.
Yeah. So then we have our on-call service that runs after business hours, so from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. on weekdays and all over the weekend, all over public holidays. So the after-hours child protection unit would generally get a call from the police or hospital asking for a foster care option. They will then call out to agencies asking whether we have capacity to find a foster care option. And then we'll call carers like Amanda at 2 o'clock in the morning, asking her to...
I bet they love that.
Yeah, it's definitely brightened up some of my boring weeknights. Hi, Amanda. Like, yeah. So, that's generally the situation if it's a, after hours.
All right. Referral. Look, I've just got to take another quick break. The very first thing is that we have what we call community service announcements that we have to play, and there's heaps of them. They're sent to us by various agencies. I'll play the first one because I've played this a few times, and I'll just get your comments on it after we've played the song. If you could just listen to it for me, I'd welcome your feedback.
Anglicare Victoria is in search of foster carers all across Victoria. Foster care is a way of offering children a safe, secure and nurturing place to stay when their family is unable to care for them. You can choose from several different types of care placements to suit your lifestyle. For more info on how to become a foster carer for Anglicare Victoria or to attend an information session, visit www.anglicarevic.org.au.
Nah, that wasn't the one I meant to play because all that's doing is looking for, trying to pinch the ones that we're trying to find for you. There's one, and I just probably can't find it now, about debunking it, because from what it's saying, that some of these children, once they go into foster care, seem to have a bit of a stigma against them. Is that true or is that not true?
Look, I think it is probably true to some extent. I think that if you could place yourself in the child's shoes, that they may not completely understand why it is that they are not with their parents, but they know that something bad has happened and that's the reason they're not there. So, you know, often children will pick up from professionals that their parents are bad, they've done something bad, and by... You know, this is what children are like, is that they then think they're bad.
Yep.
Because, they think their parents are. I think in primary school, I think it's probably fair to say that primary school kids are pretty accepting of most kids, and kids themselves, they just play. They don't ask about, your mum and dad or this or that, the other. But I think when kids go to high school, they realise how different they are and probably start to realise perhaps how tough their life might be without that, that sort of parental support. They might see, plenty of stuff on TV and around them where kids are getting help, and that sort of stuff, and they probably start to get a bit worried that that's not going to be them. So, yeah, I think there is the stigma, but, stigma attached to anyone is just really always about information, and it's always about debunking people's sort of imaginations about what it must be like. I think the thing about stigma and foster care is that every single child has a completely different journey to the other one.
Yep.
And so to then sort of even treat them as a group is completely unfair because they have such different backgrounds.
All right, look, I've now found it, so I'll play the one I meant to play. I didn't mean to give the opposition a free kick. Sorry about that. But this is the one we'll do this and I'll play a song and then I'll just get your comments on it, please.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Caroline. I grew up in foster care because of abuse and neglect earlier in my life. Now I'm studying a double degree and working in my field. People in foster care often face stigma about being in care, a life they didn't choose to live. Stop the stigma. Don't punish us by treating us differently for something that we didn't choose.
Help snap that stigma. Head to create.org.au/snapthatstigma. Brought to you by Create Foundation, the peak body for children and young people in out-of-home care.
We also work with a great singer who is not very well right now, and I think he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm amazed that he's not yet, but I'm throwing in my vote for Joe Cocker.
Yes! Yes!
Acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
But we're talking with Heidi, George, Yura, and Amanda from Anchor, and we're talking about foster care. Amanda, you said that you've got children of your own. Have you found that these children that you take into foster care have a good impact on your children, whereas they're sort of, your kids start to feel, well, you know, I'm really, really lucky. I haven't been through a lot of what these other young people have been through.
Sure, I think it gives them a better understanding of how lucky they are, for sure. They certainly realise there's a lot worse out there, and some kids have some really difficult struggles, and it makes them appreciate how lucky they are.
And when mum tells them off for doing something, they're a lot better off than some other child that's been beaten and all that, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Heidi, I've been given some figures and I cheated because they came from your place.
Yeah.
And we talk about nationally Victoria is the highest proportion of children in out-of-home care. Why would that be, Heidi?
Look, I think that... Part of it is that perhaps that we don't have enough services, early intervention services, and we don't have enough sort of primary healthcare services. So, you know, mental health actually presents in many of the cases that of children that come into care. Parents have a mental health issue.
Yep.
I mean, that can be accompanied by other things as well, but. You know, it's that primary health service, you know, arguably if there was enough support for people's mental health and enough parenting support early on, you know, we might get to that sort of prevention or early intervention. I think, you know, I'm very familiar with the New South Wales system and I do know that they've worked extremely hard the last probably 5 years on intervening earlier and putting a lot of emphasis and money into resourcing earlier intervention. I mean, it's almost as though once a child has to come into care, you've fallen off the cliff.
Yep.
And it's pretty hard, you know. We've got a small ambulance at the bottom, you know. It's not big. But, yeah, it's really got to be sort of in that earlier intervention space.
Is that due to funds, Heidi?
Look, I think it's funding. I think it's culture. It, in terms of culture around the system leaning in to early intervention and leaning into, you know, how can we keep kids at home or, you know, out of the system. You know, as I say, I've seen a lot more of that up front in New South Wales. I think also too, I mean, you know, I think in some of our country towns, the ICE epidemic has really taken a toll, you know, out in those areas. It, you know, we're in the city and we think, oh, you know, there's ICE everywhere and whatever, but you go to some of the country towns and my goodness me, you know, it's in every other house. And so that presents a lot of danger to children when families, people are sort of taking, you know, those sorts of drugs. So, look, I think it's a variety of things. I think it's legislation and the courts and things as well. I think it's the capacity at the front end of child protection to take kids into care. we've got a pretty big workforce, so that means quite a lot of kids come into care. But, yeah, I think it's really around the early intervention and prevention, putting those services in early, you know, following up mothers really assertively early on so that they, you know, that they make good choices their babies and things, yeah.
Heidi, it says here that it's growing at about 11% each year.
Well, I mean, the population is growing.
Yeah.
I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, that more people are you know, experiencing hardship.
Yep.
I think that probably the cost of living and poverty and so forth is biting in. I think the other thing that really we've not addressed particularly well in our system is intergenerational trauma. Now, we know that Aboriginal families in particular suffer with intergenerational trauma, where the trauma that's happened a couple of generations ago is handed down, and that can affect parenting and can affect how people function. But it's not only happening in Aboriginal families. It's fair to say that we're now seeing intergenerational trauma and issues in many families where, you know, grandparents have never had a job and then parents have never had a job and, you know, and there may, you know, often drug and alcohol issues. So I think it's a bit cumulative, you know, and I think over the years we've not done a great job of really intervening and changing the scenarios.
As the funding grown, as or has it sort of stayed fairly stagnant?
Oh, no, look, to be honest, this government that we've had for the last 6 years has grown the funding envelope around child and family services and, in fact, many other services. I think it's probably fair to say that it's pretty difficult to keep up. You know, it's pretty difficult to keep, you know, there's so many pressures on the purse strings of the government. I mean, everyone needs it.
Yep.
And there's only so much to go around. So I wouldn't say that, I think sometimes governments, but one in Victoria, you know, doing well. But it is always that thing about, well, what does the evidence say to us about if you invest here, what happens up the line? And we're only just coming to terms with that, about investing where we know we get our return on investment. Yep.
The other thing is too, is it possible also, I mean, it is growing at quite an alarming rate, 11%, but I can remember back when I was a child that if there was domestic violence, people, like, I can remember many years ago a bloke and a woman having a fight in the street. My father said, "Oh no, you just come away from there," you know. So is it a case of that in the years gone by, some of these children were just left with parents because neighbours and relatives didn't want to get involved?
Absolutely. I think in the last few years, the narrative certainly has changed that a woman experiencing violence, actually it has a direct impact on children.
Yep.
So I think all those years ago, probably, Alan, people thought, well, unless the child was being hit, then the child was fine.
Yep.
But what we know is that even when a child is interuterine inside the mother,
yep,
that family violence does affect that child's brain. It does. The trauma affects that brain. Research has proven that to us.
All right. I just want to take one more quick break. This will be our last song. We'll knock the last one out. And I just want to come back and wrap up with the three of you, if I could, please.
Sure.
I'm not here to waste your time. No, this ain't a pickup line. I just think that you're a dime.
Well, don't just sit there, girl.
I know that part that's in your chest, it carries pain and so much stress, but you gotta let it go.
Go, go.
Just close your eyes, I'll grab your waist. Next thing you know, you have your pace. Girl, you gotta let it go.
Go, go, girl.
I know you wanna get down.
You
do deserve to get down.
I've
been working hard all week, just trying to make money.
You're
gonna shake your booty, loving it. What's your sign? I bet it is compatible with mine. Probably long-lasting years down the line. I'm telling you, girl, you're a dime.
Well, don't just sit there, girl.
I know that heart that's in your chest, it carries pain and so much stress, but you gotta let it go.
Go, go.
Just close your eyes, I'll grab your waist. Next thing you know, you have your pace. Girl, you gotta let it go.
Go, go, girl.
You do, that being you, you see.
so professional. Not to mention you're the baddest of your crew.
But don't just sit there, girl.
To get down,
to get down.
We work hard all we have, just trying to make money. Girl, go and shake your booty. I'm loving it, I'm loving it,
I'm loving it. Do do hey.
I'm loving it.
Yeah,
I'm loving it.
Oh,
don't you love it too?
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. We're at 6 minutes to one, or probably 5.5 minutes to one, 12 degrees. We've got one more degree to go, and we've hit the top for the day. I have with me Heidi, Georgia and Amanda from Anchor, and we're talking all about foster care, the desperate need for more. Amanda, could I ask you just to wrap it up? You're one of the carers. We're out there appealing for carers. What are you going to say to people who are listening that to try and encourage them to get involved?
Oh, we need your help. And anyone can do caring, single people, couples. I've got two businesses and four kids and I still manage to care. It's very, very rewarding. You can say what you're capable of doing and the agency will listen. You can say, look, I'm only able to do this, or I work all week and I can only help on weekends. Whatever it is, ring through, let us know what you're able to do, and we'll make sure that that you're on the books and we can use you, desperately need you. There's just more kids than there are carers, and it is a very, very rewarding thing to do, and it will add value to your family. So if you can open your heart and allow a child in that hasn't had the opportunity to have a lovely family and see a different side to the world, please do it.
Georgia, you're the person that gets involved with these children. You get the calls. What would you say to somebody who's listening today about taking on foster care? Can I ask you, is there an age barrier of parents you're really looking for? I know they can be single or whatever. Is there an upper level and a lower level that you'd like in parents, Georgia?
I think we really are in need of carers that are willing to take adolescents. That is the age group that we struggle with the most to place. I think we fall into a bit of a trap of thinking, oh, yay, foster care, you just get to take little babies and keep them forever. And that's not always the reality. I think a lot of adolescents come into care that are really needing help as well. But I think, to mirror what Amanda said, it can be a really rewarding journey for carers and for kids to be able to help out. So, yeah, please jump on board. Join us, because we really need new carers.
Sounds good. Heidi, in a minute you're going to give us the phone numbers and all the places, but what's your call out to people who are listening today that might be thinking about doing it?
Yeah, look, my thoughts go to the new campaign that's Victoria-wide that's being driven by Fostering Connections, which is a centralised project that we're all the agencies are involved in, and that is that you can play a part, and play your part in it. You know, as Amanda said, we need people that can offer, anything really in terms of caring for kids. I mean, someone like Amanda and some of our, very involved foster carers, they need respite, so if you're able to offer something on the weekends or once a month or whatever, it's really gratefully received. I think that, yes, it is a very valuable experience. We were just saying offline there, what else do we live for if not to give to others and care for others? That's kind of what life's really about. I think that, it's not for everyone. It's absolutely not for everybody, but unless you give it a try, unless you investigate, you might never know.
Amanda, I think you do a terrific job, and all the foster carers. I think people who are going to take other people's children in, and some of these children are going to have problems with them. I mean, they're not coming out of perfect homes, otherwise they wouldn't be coming to you. But I think Amanda and those people do a terrific job. Heidi,
absolutely.
We've got to get down now. We've got to start to get people interested. So what are they going to do?
Well, I would love them to ring us on 03-8761-9040. That's 03-8761-9040. And we have very skilled staff, including Georgia, who can have a conversation, you know, start with a conversation and then, you know, move through the process. I also think that, you know, groups of foster carers that perhaps go to the same church actually do really well as well, you know, if there's a little community of people. So if you know of a school where there's, you know, two or three families that might be able to do this, love to hear from you on that 03-8761-9040. And, you know, if you would also, if you're in a church group or a Lions group or something like that, we are very happy to come and talk to the group about foster care and what it involves, and perhaps even bring one of our lovely carers with us to talk to people.
Sounds good. Unfortunately, I've got to go. The 1 o'clock news are knocking on the door. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you, Alan, very much for the opportunity.
Look forward to talking to you again.